The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
All right, so in today's Health Hub, we continue talk on salt. Salt Awareness Month. I believe that is the month we're in. I did not know there was a whole month dedicated to salt. Probably we're going to the different types of salt today. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. We have Miss June Holdip. Good morning to you and welcome. How are you?
Good morning to everyone.
So that was one of the first questions I want to ask. Are there like different types of salt, or is salt salt?
Yes, there are different types of salt, but they all still contain the main components, which are the sodium and the chloride. What you find is that types of salt they're branded to contain a little more of certain minerals. And then again, too, when you look at some of them, the grains are larger than, say, regular table salt.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a tendency to use a little less of it, of those types.
So, okay, I know like different, like pink salt and Himalayan salt are the bigger granules. So if you're saying that, which one is better to use, the smaller ones or the bigger ones?
From my perspective, I would say I would not rate anyone as being super, super better.
Mm-hmm.
It all will depend. It still will boil down to how much of it you use. Because remember, when we talk about salt, we are really concerned more so about the sodium component of the salt, and they all contain sodium.
So now, why is it important to be aware of your salt intake every single day?
Okay, let me first say, let me just put a caveat here. We do need sodium. We do need salt in our body, because the function of salt is to help to regulate fluid balance, help to maintain your blood pressure, and to ensure proper nerve and muscle function. The downside of it is where over the years, over our lifespan, so to speak, we take in much more sodium than we should be taking in. And that is where the problem comes in for those persons whose bodies are unable to get rid of that excess sodium. And this is where the hypertension and those other conditions step in.
How does the body rid itself of excess salt?
Via the kidneys. The sodium combined with water in the body, that is what we excrete via urine. We also can excrete sodium via sweat. So for persons who do a lot of manual labor or who are outside exposed to the heat and working outside, they lose quite a bit of sodium via sweat. But for the average person, we get rid of sodium via our urine.
You'd mentioned that the body does need salt to regulate its systems. In what way does the body use salt?
The body uses the sodium to help with balancing fluid. And it works in collaboration, as I mentioned last week, with another mineral called potassium. So together, it's like, say, I'm using my hands here like a scale. You have sodium on the one hand and you have potassium on the other hand. And together, they help with regulating fluid balance.
Is it really used for medicinal purposes as well?
When you say medicinal, what are you thinking of?
So I'm thinking, all right, so there are conditions of the body that induces swelling. And sometimes I've heard that they recommend that you take in a little salt, especially like when you're swelling, I think in dehydration as well, some salt is recommended with G-Sol and that kind of thing. How do you determine when to add extra salt to your diet?
I think for those individuals, they will need to get medical advice, because what one of the tests is that is done when you do a medical, they measure the amount of sodium in your body. And there are some standard guidelines, like a range that the physicians look for. So from that is how you would know whether you are in line or whether you are above or too far below that range. So that is where medical intervention will be required.
Are there ways to determine if you're taking in too much salt?
Possibly, I may say, I'll probably say it may show up with fluid retention, where some people, they get puffiness in their ankles or legs or hands, as the case may be. Fluid retention may be one indication of the body retaining too much sodium.
I'm going to take a short break, and when we come back, can you recommend to us ways to regulate extra salt in the body, and how do we take the salt count? We'll be right back.
Power up your Saturdays with Carrie V's electrifying energy on Speak Your Mind Saturdays. Here, you're not just tuning in, you're transforming the show into a vibrant tapestry of opinions, laughter, and spirited debates. Get set for a day packed with the fun, the burning issues, and Carrie V's infectious personality. Join the fun, fuel the conversation, speak your mind. Saturdays with Carrie V on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Join us at the Trinidad and Tobago Disaster Risk Management Conference and Expo from June 1st to 3rd at the Hyatt Regency, and hear firsthand from the most impacted in Jamaica, Barbados, and Grenada. Connect with local, regional, and international agencies driving integrated disaster risk governance. Step into three full conference days of presentations, panels, and learning labs that mirror real disaster risk scenarios. This event is a must attend for all industries and sectors. Register now at www.ttdrm.com/register now, because the only thing worse than a disaster is being unprepared for one.
Two Fat Fellas celebrates its final performance in San Fernando, Naparima Bowl.
One night, one show, Saturday, May 30th, night of the holiday.
Two Fat Fellas stars Cecilia, Penny, Kevon, Zachary, Rachel, and Rhodey.
The ridiculously funny comedy is at Naparima Bowl for one final night.
Tickets available at Dormont Shoe Store, Long Circular Mall, Anthony's Floral Val Park, K-Square Stores, Eastgate Mall, Brentwood Plaza, C3 Center, Athletes by the Park, Southern Food Basket, Coffee Street, and Point Fortin. Naparima Bowl box office opens Thursday the 28th of May. Also online at IslandyTickets.com. For more info, text or call 683-0356 or 683-4843.
Check out our early bird special online at IslandyTickets. Two Fat Fellas!
Welcome back, TNT. We have Miss June Holdip, who is a dietitian, nutritionist, and today we are talking about salt, as it is Salt Awareness, and we are continuing from last week. Just to recap last week, what were some of the pointers that you want us to remember this week as it pertains to salt?
Okay, last week we spoke about the composition of salt, being about 60% chloride, 40% sodium, with sodium being the component that is of special interest here when it comes to high blood pressure. We also mentioned about the recommended amount that an average adult should take in, somewhere in the vicinity, from a technical standpoint, 2,300 milligrams per day of sodium, which translates roughly to about a teaspoon of salt. That's about how much sodium you'll get in about a teaspoon of salt. We also mentioned that sodium, I keep going backward and forward between salt and sodium. Sodium is present in a wide range of food items in varying amounts, and we need to be very mindful about our intake of certain foods. Mention about the foods from animals, but especially the highly processed foods where sodium compounds and or salt will be used as a preservative. We mention about convenience foods. We mention about fast foods. And let me also say, I would love to see the whole culinary sector get on board where the use of salt and other sodium containing items are used in food preparation, because people eat out so much these days. And I think when it comes to controlling our intake of sodium for health reasons, it's a multi-sectoral approach. It's not just one sector or one profession that should be able to deal with this. It's really crossing a number of different professions, so to speak. What else did we talk about last week? We identified the whole business about portion control. And then when we got disconnected, you started talking about, we were talking about the not overdoing it, being moderate in our intake of certain food items. And I think when we raised the whole question of exercising that, what we refer to as being mindful, being intentional in our choice of food items and so on, and making more use of our herbs and our spices and other seasonings that are available to us to help to bring out the flavor in food rather than that heavy reliance on salt, which I know is challenging because salt is appealing and it is addictive. So that's where we
now the thing is, we in the Caribbean, we like tasty food. Mm-hmm. They say that adding salt in some cases, depending on the type of dish that you're doing, adds to the flavor. And yeah, you also mentioned that there are other things that contain sodium. So we really have to adjust our thinking to name the item as sodium rather than salt, because when you think salt, you're thinking about the table salt or the Himalayan pink salt and so on. But sodium is inside of the margarines that we use to cook with.
It's in the barbecue sauce. It's in the ketchup,
Worcester sauce. The Worcestershire.
You name it. So, for example, I have sometimes, let's say I may season meat, mm-hmm, and I may put a little salt in it without knowing what I'm going to do with it thereafter. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, at some time later, I decide, okay, let me try barbecue in this thing. And then I may use the commercial barbecue sauce. And what happens to that particular meat? I find it being very salty, because over the years, I have been intentional in trying to cut back on my intake of salt, sodium, so to speak. So this is what I'm saying. So, for example, when we eat, let's say when you have a plate of food, is it necessary that you put salt in every single item? If you were to put salt in one or two of those items on your plate, and when you're eating that meal, you're having some of everything, surely one would, the taste of one would transfer over to another item on the same plate. So you don't necessarily have to put salt in every single item that you cook. So those are some of the ways that you can do some practical juggling, I think, because I do it sometimes.
Can we go back to because you talked about meats especially. There is the way that we preserve things, especially when in transit, let's say it's an import or something. Is there a way to, or should there be a way to label on these items how much salt was used to preserve the item, so that you still have an idea of how much salt you can further add to the dish to keep within the recommended daily allowance. But our 1 teaspoon of salt, very difficult to maintain too. Yeah. It's a very small amount.
It is a small amount, particularly not only for people in the Caribbean. It's globally. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at food habits, and I have been to quite a number of countries in the region and even visited a couple of places overseas, and it's no different. It is a global challenge that we face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was the question that you asked?
In terms of labeling.
The nutrition facts label on food items can give you an idea about how much sodium you are likely to take in if you use the amount that is stated on the label. So, for example, when you look at a nutrition facts label, the manufacturer would recommend a certain amount to be a serving size or portion size. And in that amount that is on the label, the nutrition facts label will tell you how much sodium you will get from that amount. Now, there's another column on the label that says percent daily value. And a general guideline says if that percent daily value is more than 20, says is higher than 20% of the daily value, it is considered to be high. So that is how you can use the information on the nutrition facts label. So if you were to use 2 or 3 different items and each of them, the sodium per suggested portion, I wouldn't say recommended, suggested portion size is higher than 20 on that percent daily value, you know that you'll be taking in quite a bit of sodium from just one particular item. So what you need to do here, again, it calls for some juggling and balancing as to which items you use.
All right.
Now, in the Caribbean, we have had some challenges over the years with getting what we call front of package labeling approved throughout the Caribbean. And this front of package labeling is a system used in other countries that says boldly on the label whether this particular food item is high in added sugar, high in sodium, high in saturated fat, high in trans fat, and those sort of things. So we are still battling in the Caribbean to get that front of package labeling approved for use in the Caribbean.
I wanted to interrupt here, sorry, to give this person on the line an opportunity to ask questions. Hello, good morning. Welcome.
A pleasant good morning.
Good morning, Fast Track.
Good morning.
I started the packet a good while now. I don't put any salt in the rice. The only thing I put salt in one item of the treat. If I had 3 dishes, I put it in one. So that is a very, what you're saying there is very true. You know, we do so. Like if we had 3 dishes, you have a pie, they say you have the rice, you have the beans, you have the meat, and I put salt on all of them. So that means I either put salt on one of the items, and that was work, and I get a customer out a couple of years now. So very good thought. Bye.
Thank you so much. Fast Track 625-225-7627-3223 is the number. We have another call. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, morning.
Good morning.
I want to find something, please.
Sure.
All right. These people are calling, sorry, right? But I'm asking someone, please. If you have diabetes, right, and you take too much salt, right, that could be an effect with the sugar. I number one, right? And I want to find something, too. What is causing your hand and your foot to get cramped and locked and pull stiff, your hand and foot? What is causing all that? Is salt, or you need salt in your body, or the sugar has caused that? I want to find out, please. Thank you, bye.
Thank you so much for your call.
That's a complicated question, and I'm not sure I'm the right person to answer that. I think that is more for a doctor to answer.
During the lunchtime, doctor, you can call in and repeat your question where that is concerned. Now, I think the reason why he brings that to the table is that sometimes people think, well, I have too much salt in my body. That is why my muscles and thing is tense up. That I don't know if it's an old wives' tale or something like that, but that tends to be the trend of thought. Oh, you're lacking water, you're dehydrated. So probably he was asking for confirmation on that. But lunchtime doctor for that. So going back to how we regulate salt in our bodies, we talked about what foods or the combination of foods that may introduce a higher level of salt. I think we kind of touched on how to reduce salt by diet, which would be taking it out entirely. Are there foods that introduce that salty taste that we can use as alternatives to cook with?
Foods that give us salty? No. You set me thinking here. When you say foods that give us salty taste, remember that you're getting that salty taste because of either because of the addition of salt of itself or from some sodium compound that might have been used as a preservative.
Mm-hmm.
But the alternative then would be to use food, to select food items that have a lower sodium content. And in addition to that, you also need to remember to keep yourself well hydrated, to make sure that you're taking an adequate amount of fluid, especially water, because that keeping yourself hydrated will help with excretion of that excess sodium. So drinking plenty of plain water will help your kidneys to function better, to help to flush out some of that excess sodium through your urine.
Now, as a person who don't really like the taste of water that much, are there any other alternatives?
Okay. You don't like the taste of plain water.
Well, a little lime or something, so like a little fruit.
Right. I was about to say one of the things you can try to do is to flavor it a little bit with either a squeeze of lime or lemon. Some people, sometimes what I may do is put a little bit of fruit juice. Not fruit drink, because most of the liquid fruit-like drinks we have on our shelf are not 100% juice. So take a little bit of 100% fruit juice and put a little bit in the water and lightly flavor it up. So that way it can make the taste of water hopefully a little more palatable for you.
Now, I'm glad that you made that definition, because as a nutritionist, you would know that there are differences between drink and juice, and those definitions really can determine how healthy or not healthy we're consuming. Can you give us the definition of that?
Okay. A fruit juice is the actual juice that is derived from whatever fruit, with no added sugar, no added water. As I mentioned just now, most of the items, those liquid items that we get on our shelf, they are fruit drinks. Look at the first three ingredients. That's a general guide. Is it water or is it fruit juices that is the first item listed? If it is water, sugar, and 1% juice of whatever fruit it is, then it is not 100% fruit juice. So this is why in counseling clients, I would generally suggest that those persons eat your juice rather than trying to drink it, and drink water.
Eat your juice.
I'm suggesting that you should go for the fruit of itself.
Yeah.
And drink water.
And always regulate your portions. Once it is that you have proper proportions.
Control. Yeah. Portion control underlies everything. Not because it is a fruit juice, it means that you should have an indefinite amount or a large amount on a daily basis.
So for someone who's hearing these tips right now and thinking that they need to change their diet. What is the best way of going through that process? Can they go cold turkey, as they say, or is there a way to gradually reduce the intake of salt so that it does not adversely affect your system?
Some people can go cold turkey, but others would have to do it on a gradual basis and be selective along the way. So, for example, as the caller said just now, if you are in the habit of putting added salt in every single item, how about if you start off omitting that added salt from one item this today, and by the next, and within the next 2 days, or by the next 2 days, you don't add it to another item. And as you go along, what you're really doing in the process is adjusting your taste buds to accept items with a lower sodium content. And taste is acquired. So just as how you would have been introduced to like, quote unquote, highly salted items from a very early age, you can retrain your taste buds to appreciate and tolerate and accept and all of those words items, and enjoy those food items with a lower sodium content. But it takes time, and it takes discipline, and it takes commitment.
So, like when you're going home in the traffic and you see the nuts man on the road, ask for fresh nuts instead of salt nuts.
Good example. And you would find yourself enjoying the fresh instead of the relying on that added salt. And when you finish now, you're thirsty before you reach home.
So then you drink more water. There we go. Miss Holden. Yes, go ahead.
No, and then as I was about to say, and then when you get home, now you're rushing.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much for coming in today to give us the information on salt. Let's hope that it does, you know, get somebody to change their dietary habits.
I really hope, because it's something we have to continue to work towards, because our prevalence of chronic non-communicable diseases is way out of whack.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It is.
Thanks so much for joining me today and next week for sure.
Let us confirm.
All right. No problem. Thank you so much for joining us today. Take care.
Okay. Welcome.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.